This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Tuesday, January 6th. Good morning. I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Feds cut weather, snowpack money, new DPR activities, reducing UPFs and school meals, and MAHA happy about removed pesticide provision. Padilla, Schiff press Trump to restore weather and snowpack funding. Senators Alex Padilla and Adam Schiff are pressing the Trump administration to reverse proposed cuts to federal weather forecasting and snowpack monitoring programs they warn would undermine water management, flood preparedness, and wildlife planning across the West. In a letter to the Agriculture and Commerce Secretaries, California Democrats said reductions affecting the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and the National Weather Service would erode the accuracy and timeliness of forecasts relied on by farmers, water agencies, and emergency managers. They also raised concerns about impacts to snowpack measurement and data collection conducted through the National Resources Conservation Service, including the Snowtail Network that tracks mountain snow conditions critical to runoff forecasts. Padilla and Schiff argued the proposed cuts come as climate-driven extremes intensify, increasing the stakes for early warning systems that inform reservoir operations, irrigation planning, and public safety decisions. California's water managers, they noted, depend on federal data to balance flood control with water supply capture during increasingly volatile winters. On the snowpack, late December storms brought a welcome boost to California's snowpack and surface water supplies, easing early season concerns after a dry fall and setting a more optimistic tone for the heart of winter. A series of cold systems dropped widespread snow across the Sierra Nevada, lifting snow water equivalent to near or above seasonal averages in several basins. That according to the state's Department of Water Resources. The storms also delivered meaningful rainfall to lower elevations, improving reservoir inflows and soil moisture conditions critical for early spring runoff. The late December pattern marked a sharp turnaround from November's dry conditions and reduced the likelihood of an immediate return to drought planning. DPR updates pesticide mitigation work. The Department of Pesticide Regulation released a status update yesterday detailing ongoing efforts to evaluate pesticide risks and reduce impacts on human health and the environment. The update shows DPR completed 19 mitigation or evaluation actions in the past 6 months, covering 22 pesticide active ingredients. The department's continuous evaluation program reviews new scientific research, tracks pesticide illness reports, monitors ecosystems, and tests air, water, and food for residues. Looking ahead, DPR outlined plans to prioritize actions on 25 pesticides through 2029, largely staying on track with timelines laid out in its 2025 report. This year, the department plans to convene a new scientific prioritization and review committee known as SPARC to provide science-based guidance on which pesticides warrant mitigation or regulatory action. The semi-annual update fulfills reporting requirements under AB 2113, which directs DPR to regularly report on progress in managing pesticide risks. On that note, two new DPR regulations take effect this month that aim to strengthen public health protections. One rule restricts the use of the fumigant 1,3-D to reduce cancer risk to occupational bystanders like farm workers by establishing buffer zones and enhanced exposure evaluation. The second updates pesticide application requirements near school sites, adding separate site IDs and requiring application details and permits and reports, while expanding the definition of school site to include more private K-12 schools. DPR had also launched a new online dashboard to make pesticide enforcement and inspection data more accessible and transparent to the public. Making school meals healthier. A major goal of the Make America Healthy Again movement is getting something of a boost from one of the nation's leading voices for school nutrition programs. The School Nutrition Association's 2026 position paper calls on Congress to provide funding to reduce ultra-processed foods in school meals. MAHA advocates want to reduce UPFs in children's diets, promoting whole foods and improving school meals to combat childhood chronic diseases. A new School Nutrition Association report outlines challenges for school meal programs faced with reducing UPFs. This comes as the Trump administration's soon-to-be-updated dietary guidelines for Americans expected to recommend reduced UPF consumption. School nutrition professionals are at the front lines instilling principles for lifelong healthy eating among America's children. Schools are the only place required to serve meals based on the dietary guidelines for Americans, says SNA President Stephanie Dillard. Congress must step up to ensure schools have the funding and resources to build on their successes and effectively implement changes to school nutrition standards. SNA also wants Congress to increase school meal program funding for scratch cooking, which is preparing meals from basic whole ingredients rather than using prepackaged, processed, or heat-and-serve components. Pesticide provision stripped from appropriations bill. Liability shield language that would protect pesticide makers from lawsuits in state courts has been dropped from the fiscal 2026 spending bill. That's a win for the MAHA movement. The House Appropriation Committee's Interior Environment Appropriations Bill previously had the language, but the final version of the bill negotiated with the Senate did not. This outcome proves the strength of the bipartisan movement this administration calls MAHA when it works across the aisle, said Elizabeth Kuchinick, a former policy director at the Center for Food Safety and founder of the Kennedy for President campaign, a precursor to the MAHA movement, a news release from MAHA advocates said. Take note, a former Trump administration official who works on the issue says removing the provision had more to do with a de facto policy of stripping riders from appropriations legislation. Industry reaction. Well, the Modern Ag Alliance, which includes Bayer and dozens of ag groups, argues the provision wouldn't have directly affected current or future litigation. A statement from Bayer said, quote, "We agree that no company should have blanket immunity, but the shield language, quote, would not prevent anyone from suing pesticide manufacturers. We have seen many inaccurate and misleading claims made online about the intent of this legislation, and anything to assert otherwise is a distortion of reality. We support state and federal legislation alongside more than 360 agriculture organizations because the future of American farming depends on reliable, science-based regulation of important crop protection products determined safe for use by the EPA, the statement said. Here's today's final word. It's going to be a big year. That the word of Senate President Pro Tem Monique Lamone. Following her swearing-in ceremony yesterday, Lamone signaled that affordability and oversight are going to be priorities under her leadership in the Senate this year. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Tuesday, January 6th. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Dowling.